بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد Firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Islam and we praise Allah ta'ala Allah jalla majdahu for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. This is the third part in our series, The Wisdom of Actions. And in the second part I have discussed, that is last week, Sunday, we discussed why we require Sharia, why man is in need of Sharia. And this leads us to the knowledge. So man requires certain branches of knowledge that is fundamental for man's continued existence. In order for us to exist, we require some knowledge. And what knowledge do we require for our existence? And why do we require that knowledge for our existence? Because Allah Jalla Majdahu has sent us on the surface of the earth, and He, in His wisdom, requires us that we should have certain amount of knowledge. So what is this knowledge, and why do we require this knowledge? Firstly, we have to have the knowledge of Allah Jalla Majdahu's oneness and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. It is necessary for man to know that the being whom he worships is only the one deity and that none but him deserves to be worshipped. Man also needs to know what are the attributes of this deity Allah and what are these attributes resulting in, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all faults and defects and mistakes. Man needs this knowledge because Allah is the creator of man, and creation cannot attain perfection without recognizing who his creator is. So, first of all, it is necessary that man requires to know whom he is worshipping, and he requires the knowledge of Tawheed. Because remember, Tawheed is the cornerstone for us Muslims. The important factor of worship, of ibadat, is Tawheed, only Tawheed. We as Muslims, sometimes they call us Muhammadin, which is completely erroneous and wrong and false. Because we do not worship any creation. We worship the creator of creations. We worship Allah Jalla Majdahu, who is one without any partner. And when we study in detail the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we come to realize why we have to succumb to the fact that Allah and Allah alone is the one only worthy of worship. No one besides Him is worthy of worship. And remember, every Nabi called towards Allah's oneness, Tawheed. And if we also want to follow the footsteps of the Anbiya alayhi salam, then we also have to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in Surah Yusuf it is very clear that Kul hazihi sabili adu ilallah. That say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that I call to all, that this is the path I call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this path? Calling towards Allah, calling towards the oneness of Allah. قُلْ هَذِهِ السَّبِيلِ أَدُوْ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعْنِي, I and those that follow me. And Subhanallah, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And before that, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that call, عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. قُلْ هَذِهِ السَّبِيلِ أَدُوْ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعْنِي. So the call is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala basiratin. And remember clearly that when we imitate the call of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also are going to become successful. So it is necessary, absolutely necessary for man to know the being that he is worshipping. The mushrikeen of Makkatul Mukarma, they attributed partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this partnership is shirk. So first of all, that we have to have our tawheed in place. Secondly, that we must know, because of this tawheed and the attributes of Allah, Allah alone is worthy of worship. So we should start learning the attributes of Allah and the connotations of the attributes of Allah. And also that we must know that He is free from all faults. For example, there are those who think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'azallah, has retired. That Allah has created the earth in 6 days, the samawat al-ard, the skies and the earth in 6 days, and he's retired, seated on a throne. All these are blasphemous attributions towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get tired, he does not sleep, and he does not rest. He is almighty, as we know that in Ayatul Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states this, that sleep and slumber does not overcome him. And Allah is free from faults. There is one deviated group that says, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mazallah, he does not know, he forgets. And after doing something, then he recalls his decision. And after doing something, he recalls his decree and says, oh, I forgot, I supposed to have done this. All these are blasphemous things attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to know the knowledge. Why we need to know this knowledge? Because Allah is our creator. And the creation cannot attain perfection without recognizing who his creator is. The more a person knows about his creator, his Rabb, Allah, the more pious and righteous and more closeness to Allah that person will get. Because in anything you do or anything around us, take example a vehicle, the more you know the qualities of that vehicle, the more you'll admire it and the more you'll appreciate it and the more you'll value it. And the more you will have honor, it'll settle in your heart that that vehicle is good. Why? Because you know the qualities of it. And even man unto man, when you know the qualities of a person, that how good that person is, and of what disposition that person is, of that person you know his knowledge, his character, his personality, his method of behavior, his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his in-depth knowledge. So the more you know about a person, you learn to revere and honor that person, you will hold that person high, and in your eyes, he'll be a dignified person. Why? Because you know the qualities of that person. So when you know the qualities of that person, you will learn to admire and love, and you'll learn to respect and honor that person. Like how when a person knows the qualities of the car, he understands the value of the car. Similarly, the qualities of Allah, the sifat of Allah, the awsaf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attributes of Allah jalla majdahu, the more you learn about it and the more you study it, then you will appreciate the power of Allah, the magnanimity of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, and the method of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the 99 names of Allah, these names are in reality what? They are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we have mentioned in another gathering, that these are not the only 99 names of Allah ta'ala, because these are not the only 99 attributes of Allah. They are, according to some scholars, over 1,000 names of Allah, namely that there are over 1,000 attributes of Allah jalla majdahu. There should be a systematic learning the names of Allah, studying the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on a daily basis, if we are allowed that we study, for example, we take a name of Allah and then we study what that name means, and then we begin to contemplate about it, and we understand fully what that name means. And after that, this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are allowed as Muslims to develop on it. Then we know the power of Allah. Then we come to realize the greatness of Allah. Then by studying the attributes of Allah, we come to know Allah, He Himself. And when we study the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will become better Muslims. We will become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will become those who can gain proximity to Allah. And then we will fully appreciate what? We will appreciate why we have to worship Allah, why we have to please Allah, and why Allah is alone, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Him is all ibadat. These days, we make a great error that about every other thing we are able to talk about. Talk about the family, we can do that for hours. Talk about other people, we can do that for more hours. Talk about the qualities of the materialistic world, we can talk day and night. We can talk about the qualities of the material world, the car, the house, the palace, the materialistic world we are involved in. We can talk about the qualities of the computers, etc. But we think it is difficult to talk about Allah Ta'ala. Meanwhile, it is easier to talk about Allah, our Creator, our Rabb, our Nourisher, than anything else. But we are not mentally designed for this. We are not mentally geared for this. And we haven't been taught about how to talk about Allah. As a result, why? Because this is the educational system that is around us. The educational system around us, the circular educational system around us, has designed us that we talk about the materialistic world. That is why the value of the rand and the dollar and the pound is in the brain and the heart. But the value of the creation and the creator, the creation is not in our heart, because we have not appreciated the Creator. We know, because we have been indoctrinated via the educational system, that a person who has got wealth, we should honor him. A person who is living in luxury and comfort, we should honor him. A person who is steeped, unfortunately, in the pleasures of the world, that person we should envy and be jealous of. Whereas when we start talking about Allah and Allah's greatness and Allah's power and Allah's qudrat and Allah's creative abilities and Allah is all-knowing, then we will come to know what Allah is doing for us and why we should appreciate the fact that we Muslims only bow down to and make prostration and sizda only to Allah. From sunrise to sunset, from now onwards, if we just have to focus that who rises the sun and who sets the sun, who brings the rain and who creates the clouds, who lets the rain drops and who lets them fall where he wants it. We have seen in our lifetime that on this side of the road there is rain and on that side of the rain of the road there is no rain. How this happens? This is the power of Allah. And we have seen that for so many years, people, spouses cannot bear. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives them children, a lot of children come. Who is in control of this? If we just look at who lets the sun come out and let the rays shine upon us, this only call attributes of light and darkness. Who brings it and who makes the light go into the darkness and makes the darkness go into the light? And who sprouts the seed from underneath the soil? And let the whole proceeding come back that we have food on our table. If we have to just look at the food on our table and realize and go backwards, the milk, where it came from, how it came, how it was processed before it reached us, and what is the original source, and what is the origin of the original source, everything around us will come to realize that Allah is the one doing it, and Allah is the creator, the nourisher, and the Rabb. And we will know fully well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one worthy of worship. So when we start looking at that, who is providing for us and who is eventually putting the food on the table for us and who is feeding the animals in the jungles and who is feeding the millions of fishes in the ocean and who is feeding the millions of animals and insects on the land and who is feeding the millions of birds flying and all are living. And who is behind this? So it is very easy to talk about Allah. But what our system of education has designed us, that we should move away from the akhirat, and we should move away from talking about Allah, and we should move away from pleasing Allah. But instead, we are those who are talking about the world, the dunya, and all that it contains. We are now designed in such a way that we have become hero worshippers. We have become man worshippers. And there are those that are worshipping the dead, and others now are those who worshipping the living. Unfortunately, why? Because we have moved away from Tawheed. When we move away from Tawheed, then the shirk occurs, then this devastation occurs. So it is necessary, absolutely necessary for us to have the knowledge of Allah, the one and the only, and we have to learn, study, and encompass the knowledge of his attributes. And we have to know that Allah is free, completely free from fault. Now, mere recognition is insufficient, because man also needs to devote all his acts of worship to Allah alone. See, there is one is Janna and one is Manna. One is to know, but one is to accept. We should know the qualities of Allah and accept the qualities of Allah. Abu Jahl and party, they realized and they knew that Allah is one, and they knew Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger of Allah, but they did not accept it. So on one side we must know that Allah is one, Tawheed, and we should accept it. We must know the attributes of Allah, and we should accept it. Abu Jahl, it comes in Tirmidhi, that when he should run with a boulder towards Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to throw it upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then in between him and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a trench should come there. And a fire should emanate from that trench to such an extent, he states, that he could feel the heat of the flames, but still he never recognized it. In which way? He never accepted it. He knew that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is barhaq, is on truth, and he knew the message of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is tawheed, and that is correct. But he never accepted. So the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we study them, we should study them, recognize them is one thing, and to know them is one thing. But the most important thing is to accept that we accept Allah is all-knowing. And when we accept Allah is all-knowing, then a person will not sin. He, in his back of his mind, will know that Allah is all-knowing. And when we know that Allah is one who will take me to account, then a person is not going to sin. Why? He knows Allah is going to judge me, and there is going to be a day of judgment, and there is going to be a day of accountability, and there is a day I'm going to stand before Allah. So when a person knows on one side Allah is merciful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beneficent, and on the other hand, he knows that Allah, when he holds firmly. And when Allah grips, he grips firmly. And he will know that I'm going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and I will going to be accountable to Allah. So the qualities of Allah is one. To know the qualities is still another, but to accept the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what the Shariat is telling us. And this knowledge is essential for us to maintain our lives and for us to have a continued existence. Now, if man fails to do this, he will be faltering at every step of his life. Man also needs to know the attributes of Allah, because his nurturing and reformation in this world is dependent on this. For example, he will only be able to obey all Allah's commandments and injunctions in all conditions when he realizes and accepts that Allah is all-seeing and all-knowing. His knowledge of Allah's attributes will determine how he behaves towards Allah Jalla Majdahu. That is why that famous statement that Allah will behave to his servant how his servant thinks of him. And how we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will behave unto us. So when we know the attributes of Allah, he's all-seeing. When a person knows that there is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is basir, that he is seeing, he is all-seeing, he is sami, he is all-hearing, then a person, he will not cheat, he will not bribe, because when he is transacting, he knows that Allah is all-hearing, and he knows that Allah is all-seeing. Now, can you imagine a person, on one hand, the level one is that he knows Allah is all-hearing, and he knows Allah is all-seeing. How all-seeing? We have stated in the classical textbooks that Allah sees, and he sees the movement of the black ant's legs under the dark rock. under the water in a dark night. So in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of the water underground, and under the dark rock, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the dark insect's leg moving. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears the movement of that ant. In those, all those darknesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears. So now when we know on one side the attribute of Allah, that Allah is all-hearing, and the other side we know the attribute of Allah, that Allah is all-seeing, now when we are standing before a customer and we want to sell something, then we will not deceive. There'll be no deception. There'll be no cheating. There'll be no falsehood. There'll be no breaking of promises and breaking of pledges. Why? This person knows that Allah is listening to what I am saying. This person knows Allah is hearing what I am saying. This person knows Allah is seeing what I am doing. Now when these qualities which he studied, the attributes of Allah which he studied, now what he is knowing and what he is accepting, acceptance is the one that will give us continual existence in a perfect manner. We are existing currently. All of us who are listening also, we are existing. But are we existing in a perfect manner? Are we existing in a good manner? Are we existing how Allah wants us to exist? Are we existing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired for us to exist? Or we are just existing for the sake of existing? Remember, a person will exist for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he has studied the attributes of Allah, and now he's got full focus that when a customer comes, I will sell, exposing all the defects. And when I am teaching, then I will teach with all the preparation. And when I am teaching in the classroom, then I will not utilize the time of the institute for any other activity. For example, these days we come to know that teachers, professors, and whether they are teaching in Muslim institutes or non-Muslim institutes, then whilst they are teaching, they are answering their cell phones. Whilst they are teaching, they are busy surfacing the net. Whilst they are teaching, they are busy phoning around on their personal calls. That means they believe that Allah is all seeing. Something is wrong with them. They believe that Allah is all hearing. Something is wrong with them. Why? Because if they believed and accepted that Allah is all watching and all seeing, then the person will teach during the teaching time. He will not now use the organization's time for any other thing because he is being paid for that hour to do a particular job and he will not do something else. So how serious is this that we have to do what we are paid for because we will be accountable? If a person is deputized with a particular job, then he has to do that job. And if he does not do the job, that means he is existing for the mere sake of existing. He is not existing for the pleasure of Allah. And why he is not doing that? He knows the qualities of Allah. He knows he is going to be accountable to Allah. But that has not permeated in his mind and his brain and his blood and his system. That is why he is misappropriating the time. Can you imagine those who are misappropriating the funds of the organizations and institutes? Can you imagine those who are misappropriating the Zakat fund, the Lilla funds, the Sadqatul Fitr funds? Can you imagine all that? Bottom line again, that they know the attributes of Allah, but they have not accepted the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that the tawheed is not perfect, therefore they are not perfect human beings. The more perfect our knowledge and acceptance of knowledge of the attributes of Allah is, the more perfect our belief in tawheed will become. And remember, tawheed, we have at times misunderstood it. We think tawheed is only believe Allah Ta'ala is one, and now do whatever the person wants to do. This is absolutely erroneous and false. We know, we should know the meaning of tawheed and the repercussions of tawheed. For example, Abu Jahl and party, why they did not accept Islam? The main reason was, if they accepted tawheed and the risalat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then immediately they will have to subjugate their lives to the injunctions of Allah and the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now their leadership is going away, their rulership is going away, their so-called independence is going away, their pride and arrogance will have to be controlled, and they will not be freelancing anymore. Now they'll have to be governed by a law, they will have to be governed by commandments. And now they are no more the boss. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law will have to come upon them. They'll have to subjugate their whims and their fancies to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll have to subjugate their desires and passion and lust to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll have to subjugate their entire life to the way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their leadership is gone from their heads. Now they'll have to listen to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, us, we have to understand this, that in every facet of our life, in every avenue of our life, in every walk of our life, supreme is the law of Allah. Supreme is the way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is tawheed. When we set aside every other ideology and philosophy, and we bring ourselves under the philosophy and ideology of tawheed, then we will be successful. However, the attributes of Allah cannot be understood through man's sensory perceptions, since they are too sublime. Despite this, the Quran and the Ahadith still needed to explain them. Allah makes it evident to people that He is free from all defects and weaknesses that man suffers from. At the same time, Allah possesses all the positive attributes that man has, such as the ability to see and hear and speak, be compassionate. Nevertheless, Allah makes it clear that none is like Him. Although Allah possesses knowledge, His knowledge is far superior to that of man, since Allah knows even how many drops of rain fall, how many grains of sand a desert contains, and much, much more. Although Allah can see and hear, and we can also see and hear, the difference is vast. Allah can see a black ant crawling beneath a black rock in the darkness of the night and even hear it, as I have explained. Like this, Allah makes it clear that all His attributes are totally unlike those of people, because it is in regarding Allah's attribute to be like those of man that shirk starts. This is exactly what we have been expounding, that Allah sees and man sees, but the seeing of Allah is different and the seeing of man is different. Allah hears, man hears, but the hearing of man, Allah is different, and the hearing of Allah is of man is different. So the hearing and seeing of Allah is different, and the hearing and seeing of man is different. The knowledge of man is finite. The knowledge of Allah is infinite. Meaning the knowledge of man has a limit, and the knowledge of Allah is limitless. Man, he sees the stars, but how many stars are there, he does not know. The knowledge of Allah is Allah knows the quantity of the stars. If you go to the seashore, then you see the pebbles there, and you see the sand, and you can see that when you pick up the sand, you can see you have got sand from the seashore in your hand. But how many pebbles are there in your own hand, you do not know. You cannot even count it properly. However, Allah, let alone the number of grains of sand in the hand, Allah knows the total number of grain of sand on every seashore, individually and separately, collectively and separately, Allah knows that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His knowledge is limitless. His knowledge, there is no boundary to it. His knowledge is infinite. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees, we cannot even see behind the wall. We cannot see when there is a glass in front of us which is colored. We cannot see and our eyesight will be distorted. Our hearing is distorted if someone has to speak from behind the wall or glass or through the medium of water. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hearing and eyesight is perfect. Allah hears. And Allah hears millions and trillions of things all simultaneously, individually. There are four people around us. If four people around us start talking, we cannot hear everyone. We cannot understand everyone. We cannot listen to everyone. And everyone, only four or five people around us. And we cannot comprehend what four or five people are saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire creation, man and jinn, and the animals, the mammals, and the birds, and the insects, Allah Jalla Majdahu, He hears every one of His creation. And He hears them like how clearly, perfectly. So these attributes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, we have to understand the attributes and the level of these attributes. And also know fully well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot make Him like man. Like certain people, they do not understand the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as expounded in the Quran Kareem. And when they discuss, for example, ayats of like Istawa ala al-Arsh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has focused and established the throne, the arsh, then there are those who are deviated and they start giving physical quality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they begin to attribute body parts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is erroneous and which is disastrous to the belief of Tawheed. And there are those who say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seated on the throne like how you and I are seated on the chair. So this is erroneous knowledge. And this is blasphemous knowledge. And this is knowledge that takes a person out of the fold of Islam. We should fully well realize this. And groups like these have passed. And historically, if you look at the textbooks, you'll find the existence of these people who try to give physical qualities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a person, he gives physical qualities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person leaves the fold of Islam. Because you cannot say that Allah has got human organs, or Allah is seated on a throne. Once you say that, then you are giving Allah space. You are restricting Allah to a space. You are confining Allah to a place. You are giving Allah length, width, breadth, volume, density. And these are the qualities of a human or a creation. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all this. The creation of Allah, for example, man. Just to give an example, man has the quality of height, then width, then breadth, then depth, then the volume. And what is in the volume? So all these things you are now giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is unbecoming. In fact, it is blasphemous in nature, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from length, free from breadth, free from width, free from depth, free from volume, free from confined to a space, free from confined to a place. So we should be extremely careful, and we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all this. So the first quality and the first branch of knowledge that is fundamental for man's continued existence, because there are five branches of knowledge that is fundamental for man's continued existence. And the first quality which we have been talking about is the knowledge of Allah's oneness and the knowledge of Allah's attributes. And the second knowledge, which is essential for our continued existence, is the knowledge of the acts of ibadat. Man needs to know how to worship Allah. He needs to know which manner so of worship are correct and which are not, because worshiping Allah in an inappropriate manner will drive a person further from Allah rather than bring him closer. And this is one of the reasons why Shariat has been given to us, and also the purpose of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and the purpose of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, to teach us how to worship Allah ta'ala, how to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ibadat. And this is crucial and essential. And if a person walks the earth, you will find any person, you ask him, what is purpose? He'll tell you, I would like to worship my Creator. And then when you go around, you'll see strange things going on, leading even to satanic worship, and the person fully believes that he is doing it for the Creator, but in reality, this human sacrifice, giving of blood, etc., is to please the devil and shaitan, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see this, that in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that they wanted to sacrifice a young virgin, human sacrifice, so that the blood can be spilt on the floors of the river Nile. And when this was stated to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he immediately prevented and prohibited this. And that is when he wrote that famous letter to the Nile, stating the Nile. And he wrote this, the Sahabi on the instruction of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who he threw it down onto the bed of the Nile, and the Nile began to flow. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who addressed the Nile and said, "O Nile, if you flow by the will of Allah, flow. And if you do not flow by the will of Allah, do not flow." And that Nile flew and over its banks. So those people, in their minds, that sacrifice, that human sacrifice, was to gain proximity to the gods. And the deen of Islam, the sharia of Islam, as far as how to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has been detailed and it has been specified and has been elucidated and expounded than no other section in Islam. In Islam, we have got ibadat, we have got ma'amlat, we have got akhlaq, we have got siyasat, we have got the ways, ibadat, how to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worship. We have got ma'amlat, social interaction. And we have got siyasat, the political administration. And akhlaq, we have got character building and how to perfect our personality. Now we have got various branches, buying and selling, the iqtisad. We have got economics. If you look carefully and study Islam, then you'll find broad principles and economical principles. You'll find political principles. And when it comes to ibadat, especially salah, then you will find so much of detail is written that in no other religion so much has been written. And you will find that minute laws have been specified, hundreds of laws literally concerning two rakats of salah. And you will find the injunctions of Hajj and fasting, they have been expounded to the last detail. Why? Because this is the important necessity of man. He must know without doubt that my ibadat has been sanctioned and approved of, that my ibadat has been displayed to me and I am following that correct and valid path without any doubt, and this path is going to take me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is going to grant me proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the sections on transactions and dealing and buying and selling, you'll find a lot of principles, and from those principles the fuqaha, the juro consultants, extract the various laws and rules and regulations. But when you look at the section on ibadat, pure worship, you'll find that practically every scenario, every case has been stated and listed. We just have to read and source it. Why? Because we do not want to be like those people who are looking at the wall and they're thinking they are gaining proximity to Allah. We are not like those who are sacrificing, human sacrificing, and thinking they are gaining proximity to Allah. We are not like those people who are standing on their heads and thinking they are getting proximity to Allah. We are not like those who have been suspended from the woodwork of the building upside down and thinking that this is now a sacrifice of worship. We are not like those who are indulged in heinous crimes and thinking that they are getting the pleasure of Allah. We are not like those who are listening to music and jumping around and dancing and they think that this is all part of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when it comes to the worship and the methodology of worship, the ibadat and how to do it, when to do it, everything has been stipulated. Because if it is not done in an appropriate manner, then that is going to lead to deviation, and that is going to lead to innovation, and that is going to lead to the displeasure of Allah, and that automatically goes towards the anger and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second branch is very clear, that we should know how to worship Allah, because when we know how to do that, we will be gaining His proximity, His nearness, and His pleasure. And in order for this, that is why we have to follow closely the Anbiya alayhi salam, none other than Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, and all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who blessed the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam with such fuqaha, jurisconsultants, experts in jurisprudence, like the four illustrious imams who have detailed the manner and ethics of worship, of ibadat, that we are not at a loss today. 1400 years away from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but still we have got such a complete and a perfect deen that the ibadat, there is no need for us to add or subtract the methods of gaining His pleasure. There is no need for us to invent any new methods of gaining the pleasure of Allah, because Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenukum, in Arafat, on the plains of Arafat, in Surah Maidah, it is recorded, beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, today I've perfected the deen for you. And this perfection is in the ibadat, that everything leading to the proximity to Allah has been expounded to unreal levels. Hundreds, literally thousands of laws we ourselves have compiled concerning the ibadat. If you go to our website, alislam.co.za, then especially on the sections of salat and hajj and fasting and sawm, you'll find enough literature there, and literally thousands of laws have been written so that man is not at a loss, so that man knows that at any time, any possibility and probability, they are the answers what I must do. So the second branch of knowledge which will help man, and in fact it is essential for man, for man's continued existence, is the knowledge of how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine man on the surface of the earth? That firstly he doesn't know about Tawheed, or he doesn't know the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or thirdly that he does not know that how to worship Allah. When man does not know how to worship Allah, then he becomes like an animal. Then he is wandering around like a fool, and he'll be pacing up and down like a stupid, and he will not know what his Creator wants from him. He will not know the demands of his Creator, and he will not know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him down on the earth, and he will be wasting his time in vanity, in vain activity, futility, those things that have got no rewards in any world, this world, the qabr or the akhirat. That is when man, unfortunately, does not know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when man knows what to do, when to do, how to do, and now, alhamdulillah, in this series, we'll come to know why to do, and our circle will be complete. But basically, man will know that when the month of Ramadan comes, I must fast. And when Salat of Fajr time comes, I must make Salat of Fajr. And when it is the time of Zuhur, I must make Zuhur. And when I have got enough money, I must give out my zakah. And when I have got enough money, then I must proceed to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I must proceed for Hajj. So our life has been designed for us. our responsibility is to have correct aqeedah, correct knowledge of Allah, correct knowledge of Tawheed, and valid knowledge of Tawheed. And when we'll know, and how we will know that our knowledge of Tawheed is correct, when we understand fully and we accept Tawheed in its entirety, and we fully accept that Allah's attributes are barhaq, they are truthful, and there is no doubt in it, and we accept those qualities. And one of the greatest qualities that we are having difficulty in accepting is the quality that Allah is our Rabb. And Allah is the one who gives us disgrace or puts us into an elevated position. And when Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, when we look at their lives, these qualities, the attributes, we may claim that we are more studious than them. But in reality, they are far, far gone. They have been blessed into Jannat already. Now, why? Because they practically, fully understood the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. That is why Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that if you give me 313 personnel who have got the qualities of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Why 313? 313, that's the number of the Sahabas who participated in the Battle of Badr. And what was their quality, which Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi is indicating towards? The quality that they were not reliant on the causes. Their eyes were not focused on the causes. Their eyes was focused fully on the causer of the causes, who? Allah Rabbul Izzat. And when they stood there in Badr, ill-equipped, whilst the enemy, they were equipped to the teeth, and the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in were victorious because their concept and belief of Allah, Allah is one, was perfect. And their belief that Allah is the one who gives victory and Allah is the one who gives defeat, and victory and defeat is not in arms and ammunition, but victory and defeat is in the power and hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Victory and defeat is not in the position that you are standing, but victory is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Musa alayhi salam, that he did not have the military might which Firaun had. He did not have the horses like Firaun had. He did not have the so-called speed like Firaun had. He did not have the swords and the shield like Firaun had. He did not have the military numbers like Firaun had. He did not have the arms and ammunition like Firaun had. But Musa alayhi salam, he was fully focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and kudrat, and that is why he and his band were successful and victorious and got salvation and went through the waters, whilst Firaun and his party, they were destroyed and drowned. Why? Because they had the wrong belief and the wrong concept. So belief is essential. That is why we are saying that in order to have continued existence for man on the surface of the earth, five branches of knowledge are essential. And we have now discussed in this session two of them. In brief, one, the knowledge of Allah's oneness and His attributes. To know them, to study them, and most important, to accept them. Secondly, we have to know that knowledge, and we have to know how to worship Allah. Because if we do not worship Allah, how Allah wants us to worship Allah, then instead of coming closer to Allah, we unfortunately will go further away from Allah. Because first of all, we must understand Allah is not in need of us. Allah is not in need of our ibadat. We are doing we are not doing Allah a favor by going to masjid, or reading Quran, or reading Durood Sharif, or doing any good action. Everything that we are doing in the light of the Sharia, which has been proven reliably and authentically, is for our own spiritual upliftment and spiritual benefit. Because Allah is completely independent. So when we learn this, that Allah Samad in Surah Ikhlas, that when we know Allah is independent, this is His attribute, this is His quality. Now when we know that, then we'll know fully well, and when we accept that Allah is independent and we are dependent on Allah, then automatically we'll know, I am making salah for the pleasure of Allah, for my reformation and spiritual elevation. I am giving zakah for the pleasure of Allah, so that I come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not require or need our zakah, our hajj, our charities, our ibadat, nothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires. We require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah jalla majdahu grant us ability to be with iman, stay with iman, live with iman, and die with iman. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
How we did.